Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture.
All of you have a profession that you're studying, or you may have actually acquired some along the way. You may have several different things that you've done, some skills that you've mastered, and those are part of you, right? And those are all structured by activity, which leads to certain goods. And some of those are goods for you. Some of those are goods for other people. And each profession has certain determinant goods that you don't expect from other professions necessarily. So, you know, let's take some really trivial examples that Aristotle brings up. Saddle maker, what is the good of a saddle maker? Making saddles. It's that simple, you know? What is the good of a flute player? What do they make?
Music.
And if they're a bad flute player, they don't make good music. And if they're a good flute player, they make good music, right? That's their function, he would say. So every profession has some sort of function to it. What's the purpose of a waiter or a server? Do they have more than one, maybe? What do you think? What are you looking for when you go into a restaurant from your server? What determines whether you're going to give them a tip or not, or a good tip? Okay, so this... Yeah, they don't hang around the kitchen all day long, you know, they actually... Why does it matter whether they're quick or not? What's the good that's coming from that?
You make your food fast or your orders fast.
Yeah, you get in at a reasonable time and you get out at a reasonable time, and your food... Why is it important that you get your food fast so it's not cold when you... So it's actually tasty. Good food, that's one of the things that... Does the waiter themselves provide the good food? No, the cook does that, right? And there may be a whole chain of people... If you're in a fancy restaurant involved in the production of that. Is there anything else a waiter's supposed to do? Anything else that would, like, turn you off enough that you wouldn't give them a tip if they didn't do? Or if they screwed up? What's that?
Nasty or mean?
Yeah, they're actually supposed to make you feel like you're in a place you'd like to be. So if they treat you like a jerk or like you don't matter or something like that, they're not fulfilling their function well. There is a definite good that they are supposed to be attaining. Aristotle broadens this question, and he says, what about you as a person? What about you as a human being? Is it the case that flute players and barrel makers and pick whatever else you like, do they all have some sort of function or purpose, but a human being themselves, him or herself? No. Well, some people think that. Some people think there is no purpose to human being overall. Aristotle isn't one of those philosophers. He thinks there actually is a purpose to us. And he calls this the general good that we are trying to pursue. So he says, what could this function be? Okay, well, let's think about what makes up a human being. What are the most basic things that you do? And what were you going to say?
No, I was just asking a question about the general good. Is that the same kind of general good that he's talking about? Talks about a natural order, universal goods?
Well, natural order means a lot of different things in Aristotle.
Right. So this refers to, like, there's a universal good. Like, there are things that are genuinely good.
Oh, in this book, when he's talking about the universal good as Plato thought of it, Aristotle doesn't think there is any such thing. He thinks there's a lot of different types of goods. And then there's, like, a more overarching good within given people's life, which has to do with their function. He also does talk about another kind of good that's important, a common good. Right? If we're all here in one community, there is not just the good for me, the good for you, the good for her. There is a common good that belongs to all of us if the classroom is functioning well. Okay, yeah. Universal was tripping me up because Plato thinks in those sort of terms. Now, with the human being, so what is it that we do? Well, let's start at a really basic level, what we share in common with plants or all living things. Are there certain things that if you don't do, all bets are off? Yeah, you better, you know, breathe and take in nutrients and get rid of waste and drink water and what else? Anything else that fits in with that? Grow. Plants grow. We grow. Your body's constantly, like, growing new bits because all the old ones are slowly dying off. He calls this the vegetative function. And let's lay this out like the human being. So we have these vegetative activities, right? You don't actually have to be working at full capacity to do these. I mean, you could actually just have a brain stem. That happens to some people through brain injuries or birth defects. What else? Now, there's one thing plants don't really do. There are several things plants don't really do that animals do. What differentiates animals from plants? plants. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although, you know, of course there are like Venus fly traps and stuff like that, but let's ignore those sort of exceptions. We eat, which means we actually like go from place to place and consume food. Some animals just like sit there and food comes into their whatever mouth or whatever. Yeah. But most animals actually like go somewhere to get something. So there's also locomotion, moving from place to place. What were you going to say?
I was going to say we have feelings.
Ah, yes. That's very important. Now, some people think that plants have feelings. Aristotle doesn't really think plants have feelings. You know, some people talk to their plants and, you know, I want you to grow. I want to surround you with... What's that?
That's sunflowers.
Well, they turn to the sun. I don't know that sunflowers respond to you saying nice things to
the sun.
Well, you're right. That, oh, you mean as far as locomotion? Yeah, plants have limited locomotion. We can say that. Animals move a bit more, at least most animals, right? And animals have all sorts of feelings and desires. That's an important part of what we are. That's really big, and we share that in common with the animals. Do we have exactly the same desires as the animals? There's something cats do that I just don't understand, and probably never will, because I'm not a cat. But most of their desires, I think we can relate to fairly easily, can't we? It's interesting. You can tell whether there's something a bit off with them by looking at whether they can understand the behavior of animals or not. Those who are like totally disconnected from animals, generally those sort of people lack empathy. They're unable to relate to other people quite as well. Now, you can go too far. You can like pretend my cat's a person, that sort of thing. Aristotle wouldn't go for that, right? Because what does it take to be a person? Well, he says we have this vital activity, right, that comes from plants, and then we have sentient life, being able to sense things, to move from place to place, to eat, to feel, to have desires for things. And then he says there's the practical life of the rational part of that. So then we have this rational. So here we're doing something that's a little bit different than the animals. It's worth asking, how are we different than other animals? Because we're animals. There's no two ways about that. We eat, we move from place to place, we do desire, we procreate. What else do we do that animals do? Build things, some animals build things a bit, you know, and fight with each other. Yeah, that pretty much covers the gamut, doesn't it? What is this other part of us that's different then? What makes us distinctively human? Yeah.
A higher level of thinking about things?
Yeah, you know, animals do think to some degree, right? I mean, you can take a cat, and if it's sufficiently motivated, you can get it to do some problem solving. I actually had a cat that, you know, it tried really hard, and if it had thumbs, it would have let itself out, because it figured out that the door handle had to be turned, and it would get up there, and poor thing, and try to, you know, use its paws, and it would get very frustrated. But it could figure that out. But we do it at a much higher level. Yeah, what were you going to say?
We speak.
That's very important. Animals do communicate with each other. Aristotle in the Politics says animals communicate with each other and they talk to themselves about, you know, the painful and the pleasurable, for example. But animals don't communicate about the good and the bad or the just and the unjust. They don't ask themselves questions like, am I a good dog? You do ask yourself questions like, am I a good person? You also ask more general questions. This goes to that higher level of thinking. What is a good person? What is a bad person? Am I right in my assessments? At that point, we're getting way beyond what the animal is capable of. I mean, it's not just that animals don't do linear algebra or, you know, create iPhones or put things on the internet or things like that, right? Or, you know, manufacture coffee. It's also an important part of our moral life in which we're different from the animals, in which we have a higher part of ourselves. And Aristotle says that if we think of the soul, there is a non-rational part of the soul which we share in common with plants and animals, which we have to because we're beings in the world. And then there's a rational part of the soul. And he says that part of this rational part of the soul has, it's fully rational. It can think things out. It can reflect. It has principles by which it operates. Then there's a part of the soul which is rational in the sense that it is, as he says, obedient to principle. So it can't generate, you know, high-level thoughts by itself, but it can follow them. It can understand them.
Sounds like Freud.
Well, Yeah, I mean, Freud didn't start out without, you know, any of these other people being around before him. You can't strictly identify Plato or Aristotle's ideas about the parts of the soul with, you know, ego, superego, id. You can do id pretty easily with this. Ego is a lot harder to fit in if you're doing a careful job. Now, Aristotle doesn't see the soul the way that Plato did. Plato had a three-part soul, right? The rational, the spirited, and the appetitive or desirous part. Aristotle has the rational part of the soul and the non-rational part of the soul. It's two parts, but each one has its own subdivisions. Now, if you want to know what makes a human being a good human being, you want to know what the purpose of human existence is, where do you think you ought to look? I mean, you could look just at professions. You're a good human being if, in fact, you fulfill the social roles that you have. And maybe it's not necessarily professions. Maybe we could tie it in with other kinds of roles, like, you know, if you're a good dad, you're a good human being. All it takes to be a good human being is being a good, you know, mom or dad, being a good parent, being a good friend, being a good lover. People identify themselves with those sorts of things. Well, another possibility is you look at what human beings all have in common. And if you want to figure out what makes you a good human being, not just what makes you a good being, but a good human being, Aristotle says, look at this. What is the function of the rational part of our soul or personality? What is its excellence? What is working well for it? And this is where he's going to lead into, eventually, talking about virtues. What he calls the intellectual virtues, those are involved with the fully rational part of the soul. So, for example, practical wisdom. That has to do with the highest part of your being. Science, or, you know, disciplinary knowledge, or craft skill. The sort of thing that you're studying in your major, you're actually developing the highest part of your soul, if you're doing it right. If you're studying social work, or business, or fashion merchandising, or what were some of the other majors in here? Were there any sociology majors?
Psych special ed.
Actually, that's an interesting one, because education is thinking about our thinking in all sorts of high-level ways, right? All of these are actually developing the highest part of your soul. That's why maybe doing your profession could have something to do with it. But this goes beyond just your profession. Then there's the moral virtues, and those are concerned not just with the very highest part of your soul that's involved there, but with this part of your soul that's rational and that it can obey reason, it can be structured by reason, it can recognize that reason ought to rule it. And this is where feelings come in, because the feelings that we have are not just purely animal. We go beyond the animals in important ways. Animals feel feelings, right? When your dog or cat loves you, it does love you. It doesn't just see you as a food dispenser and pet dispenser, right? If your cat hates you, on the other hand, your cat really hates you. It's genuine feelings. But feelings for us are more complex. You might say we feel feelings more richly, more deeply, in ways that can get us in more trouble, but in ways that can also elevate us. And a lot of what's going to make us good is going to depend not just on what we do for Aristotle, but on what we feel and why we feel it, the emotional response that we have, as well as the action response that we have. But I just wanted to, you know, have you see this. Now, what's going to constitute good functioning, or what he calls flourishing, is going to be what we are translating here as happiness. So this is a good place to transition now to happiness. When this part of the soul is fulfilling its function well, you will be happy. And you probably will also have a role in making other people happy. When this part of the soul is screwed up, you will be in some way cut off from happiness. You will be not able to participate in it fully, or even to glimpse it correctly. And if you make certain basic mistakes about the nature of the human being, or about what actually will make us happy and how to value these things, or even about your profession, you will be cutting yourself off from the possibility of full, genuine happiness, what makes our life truly worth living, according to Aristotle.
Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.